BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider today, I am Dalton Windsor. Thank you for inviting us into your homes, your cars, into your life for a few moments here today. In Scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're told that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Some verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. While our generation today has yet to truly see a time of peace, at least not globally, we are certainly seeing war at a scale, at a much larger scale than in recent memory. Be that as it may, speculation today is that we could be on the edge of the precipice here of World War III. And friends, we do not say that lightly. Joining us to discuss these hot-button issues of our day and where we are is Alex Newman, an award-winning international freelance journalist, an author, a researcher, an educator, and consultant. Alex is senior editor for The New American and contributes to other publications as well. He has authored Crimes of the Educators and also Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. Alex is also the founder of Liberty Sentinel. We'll hear about that more later on this program today. Last but certainly not least, Alex is a loving husband and father. And Alex, I believe you're joining us for the first time here in 2022, so we welcome you back to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dalton. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you, and thank you very much.
Thinking back to when you were last with us in late December, records here showing something of about the 30th of December 2021 when you last joined Jim here on Crosstalk, and My, how much has changed since just the last time you were here with us on Crosstalk.
Yeah, it truly is amazing how quickly global events and even events on the national level here in America are taking place. And it almost has a feeling of birth pangs. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We can talk more about that, of course, as well. Alex, let's go right to something that is big news for the day, news from the White House. If you don't mind, we'll play a clip here just from earlier today, the White House banning Russian oil. We have audio here from President Biden.
Today, I'm announcing the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy. We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine. This is a move that has strong bipartisan support in Congress and, I believe, in the country. Americans have rallied to support the Ukrainian people and made it clear we will not be part of subsidizing Putin's war. We understand Putin's war against the people of Ukraine is causing prices to rise. We get that. That's self-evident. But, it's no excuse to exercise excessive price increases or padding profits or any kind of effort to exploit this situation or American consumers, exploit them. Russia's aggression is costing us all, and it's no time for profiteering or price gouging. This crisis is a stark reminder to protect our economy over the long term, we need to become energy independent. I've had numerous conversations over the last 3 months with our European friends of how they have to wean themselves off of Russian oil. It's just not tenable. It should motivate us to accelerate the transition to clean energy.
That's, of course, President Biden from earlier today speaking from the White House regarding the banning of importing of Russian oil and mentioning some bipartisan report or bipartisan support there, Alex, on this. And many would probably say this is a correct step, at least in the right direction. But what are we going to do now?
Yeah, well, thank you, Dalton. And I think the first thing to recognize here is that this is a situation that was enabled by Joe Biden's policies in the first place. Under the Trump administration, America became energy independent again for the first time literally since the 1950s. And that meant that not only did we not have to buy oil from dictatorships, the Venezuelans, multiple Middle Eastern Islamist dictatorships that persecute Christians, or the Russians, it meant that we were exporting energy and we were helping the Europeans break their dependence. This, there's several things in Biden's comments there that I think need to be addressed, because what we're dealing with here is just plain deception. First of all, he acts like the price increases are due to quote unquote Putin's war of aggression against Ukraine. I'm pretty sure Americans haven't forgotten that the soaring prices began long before Putin officially invaded Ukraine. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with endless currency printing, and it has to do with Joe Biden's policies of shutting down our pipelines, shutting down oil exploration, et cetera. Now, speaking of becoming dependent on hostile foreign powers, with his remarks there, he just once again showed the real agenda here. So assuming it were possible for us to shift over to these unreliable so-called green energy schemes, the solar panels and the windmills and so on, again, thanks to the policies of the U.S. government, we are now completely and totally dependent on the mass-murdering dictatorship in communist China for achieving those ends. We depend on them for rare earth minerals. We depend on them for numerous different inputs that go into making these unreliable, very expensive, so-called green energy technologies. So I really don't see the benefit of ending our dependence on Putin's oil while increasing our dependence on the mass-murdering dictatorship of China, which, in case people out there don't remember, has murdered more people than any government in all of recorded human history, right now has millions of people in concentration camps, is ruthlessly persecuting Christians, terrorizing and arresting pastors, knocking down churches. So, there's nothing holy about banning Russian oil and then making us more dependent on Beijing.
Alex, with the turn of the calendar, it seems that we began hearing the rumblings of a Ukraine invasion, by Russia, early on this year. And then there, of course, were the Olympics, and we kept hearing these rumblings of, there's a looming attack. And as someone who follows these things and knows much of the history, as you clearly are showing here, you've reported on this. You've actually, I understand, you've actually been in Ukraine. You've actually been in Russia. These reports that we were getting, you just said all of this really a direct result of President Biden's policies. And so for you, this war did not take you by surprise.
No, it didn't, actually. I hate being right on these types of things, but actually I released a very extensive video for a show I do called Behind the Deep State, where I try to kind of show people what the media is omitting. And actually, I unfortunately predicted exactly what was going to come, that they would turn this into a big war, and that quite possibly it would develop into a third world war that would be cataclysmic for humanity, but it would be very beneficial for the agenda of so many of the elites, not just in America, but in Russia and in China and in Ukraine and in the UK and everywhere else. And, you know, to people who are just glued to the television waiting for their cues, I think a lot of this is a surprise. A lot of this information has been concealed. But there is a lot of background here. There's been much going on. And, yes, the war propaganda right now is making Putin out to be some sort of demon who is solely responsible for this. But there's so much more context that the media is not giving. One of the important parts of the puzzle that people aren't getting is that the Putin war machine and Putin himself have been intimately involved with the very same Western establishment that is now trying to paint him as some sort of literal reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. One of Putin's longtime advisors, and he's even called him a personal friend, is Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, of course, is the National Security Advisor here in the United States. He served as the Secretary of State. He served in the Nixon and the Ford administrations. He's basically been a very loyal servant of the Rockefeller dynasty. And him and Putin go to each other's houses for dinner. I'd like to get Henry Kissinger under oath and have a select committee in Congress investigate this and find out, hey, what did you know? What were your most recent conversations with Putin about? Also, Putin is intimately involved with the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. In fact, Putin is a graduate of Klaus Schwab's Young Global Leaders Program. Russia is a center of this fourth industrial revolution that Klaus Schwab talks about, which, as he points out, is an integral part of this agenda for a great reset, which, put simply, is just a move toward global totalitarianism. So there's so much more going on behind the scenes, Dalton, that we're not being told about. I'll be the first to tell you, and I've been reporting for my entire journalistic career, that Putin is a thug and a gangster and a mass murderer and should not be trusted. This is not news to anybody who's been paying attention, despite, Hillary Clinton and all these other during the Obama administration having this great reset with Russia and our relations and helping to build them up, selling them uranium. I guess everybody's already forgotten that it was Hillary Clinton who signed off on selling the Russians huge stockpiles of American uranium. So there's so much more here that we're not being told about, Dalton. I think we're being deceived. And if I might, I know I'm just blabbering here, and I know we're going to go to a break in a moment, but there's a couple pieces of the puzzle that I think people need to have to properly understand what's going on here, and they're not going to get it from the media. One of those parts is the fact that when the Soviet Union collapsed, there was more to what was going on than what was reported and more that was going on than what we saw on the surface. I would argue one of the most important defectors to ever break from the Soviet Union, he came out of Department D, the disinformation department in the KGB. They were doing long-range disinformation planning. His name was Anatoly Golitsyn. And he came over here, and in the early 1980s, he warned the American people in a series of books that there was a long-range deception being planned by the highest levels of the Soviet elite to create a fake collapse of communism, where they would tell the Western world that communism had collapsed, that Russia was now going to kind of move into being a civilized nation. They'd implement some market reforms and so on. And what he said was, this is a fraud, folks. Don't believe it. In fact, he made a series of 200 predictions, and almost every single one has come true. The final one being that there would be this attempt to bring about a second October revolution where the whole world would come under communist tyranny. And I think we're going to a break, so maybe I can pick up there when we get back from the other side.
You know this show, and that is exactly right. Please hold that thought. Alex Newman is our guest. We'll pick up right where we're leaving off on the other side of this break. Stay with us on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do blind cave fish come from?
Chris, it seems that some fish get trapped in caves living in total darkness. They have no use for their eyes, thus their eyes atrophy and no longer develop. But some of these fish are virtually identical to fish that live in lakes and streams nearby, which do have eyes. I've long wondered what would happen if you took some of these blind fish and raised them in a lit environment. Would their eyes begin to develop? The fish still have the genes for eyes, but they're never switched on. Thus, the eyes are never expressed. I've often wondered if they're interfertile with the sighted fish. This seems to be a good research project, but as far as I know, the blind fish are protected, and no such research has been done. Chris, fish were created on day 5 of Creation Week, and that happened back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
And we are back. Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Alex Newman is our guest today. And just before that break, Alex, you were beginning to make a couple of points regarding where we are and reminding us of some deception, some long-range deception that said was telling the world that, communism is dead, right?
Yeah, and you know, this was so critical because these warnings were made almost a decade before all of these things actually happened. Now, this defector, Anatoly Golitsyn, I encourage people to get copies of his books. One was called The Perestroika Deception, the other was New Lies for Old. And what he explained was that while he was working in the KGB, he worked on these projects where they were coming up with ways to deceive the Western world, the free world, what used to be known as Christendom, into believing these lies. He made about 205 specific predictions. About 200 of those have now come true. He actually named names, so you know we know he was correct. He predicted that the Berlin Wall would be taken down. He predicted that there would be phony liberalizations across Eastern Europe, but that in most cases the communists would retain control of the government, the business, the media, etc. And he warned that ultimately there was going to be a controlled collapse of the communist world that was going to be marketed to the Western world as the ultimate triumph of freedom. The Cold War was over. Freedom had been victorious. And he said that this was all a prelude to, first of all, suckering the West into sending over all the technology, all the resources, all the know-how. Second of all, to suckering the free world into letting down their guard, disarming, et cetera. And then eventually it would all culminate in the second October Revolution. And I think that's a very real prospect, right? Right now we're looking at Russia, but potentially very soon we could see the communist Chinese go try to take Taiwan as a prelude to trying to take other key nations, maybe have the communists take over Korea, maybe even Japan, the Philippines, et cetera. And then there's one more piece. I mentioned that there was two pieces of the puzzle that I think people need to really understand if they want to try to make sense of what's happening. Because on the surface, if you just look at all this, it really doesn't make sense. And that's because we're being deprived of so much critical information. The other piece of information that needs to be understood for all this to make sense is that always throughout all of the history of the communist movement, there have been very, very powerful, influential capitalists financing it all. That was true of Karl Marx, who, of course, was funded by the industrialist Friedrich Engels and by a secretive society called the League of the Just. That's where he got his money, so he could sit around and write these goofy satanic ideas down on paper, the Communist Manifesto, Das Kapital, etc. That was true when the Bolsheviks seized power in Russia. There's a very important book on this subject by a man I think of as one of America's most important historians of all our history. His name is Anthony Sutton. He was at Stanford University. And his book, the one in particular that I'm thinking about, is called Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. And what he does is he actually brings in the documents from the U.S. State Department and from the companies and the banks involved, proving that the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia that overthrew the Christian czarist monarchy and replaced it with communist slavery, really institutionalized slavery across that vast land, was funded by some of the most powerful bankers on Wall Street. And so when you understand all that, and when you see that Putin is deeply connected to the elites, that Putin is almost perfectly to a T following the global agenda of these elites. You know, they talk about creating a new world order. And Henry Kissinger himself, again, I mentioned Henry Kissinger is a good friend of Vladimir Putin. Kissinger outlined this whole strategy in a book that was published in 2014 called World Order. He said that the world would first have to be divided up into these regional orders. He was thinking of the European Union, for example, the African Union that right now is being imposed on the Africans by the European Union, the American government, and the Chinese government. Of course, in South America, they have the Union of South American States. Well, Putin has been very busy in the last few years building his own regional order. It's called the Eurasian Union. And what has been the effect of this war? Well, the very first thing that happened after the tanks rolled across the border was Ukraine said, hey, we need to join the EU. Sweden and Finland all said, hey, we need to join NATO. Right, so what we're seeing is a massive acceleration of the push for globalism. And I think that ultimately is the end goal here, Dalton, is to push us further away from the nations system that God developed It's God who ordained that there should be nations and that humanity should be divided up into nations. That's not a human innovation. The Old Testament and the New Testament both teach that clearly. And so I think globalism is really the ultimate objective here. And I think we're going to see as this goes on that globalism is going to be the biggest winner out of this war, along with the communist Chinese.
Alex Newman, our guest here with us on Crosstalk. Great to have him with us. First time in this year, 2022. Alex, when you talk about globalism, where would a free nation such as America fit into that narrative and where they're wanting that to go?
Well, and I think that's another critical part of what's happening here, Dalton, is we've operated over the last few generations in a world order that these globalist deep state types describe as a unipolar world order, right? After World War II finished, they built the architecture of global government. They created the United Nations, the World Bank, the IMF, all the Bretton Woods institutions, et cetera. They laid the foundation. But, of course, they couldn't just say, hey, guys, we're having a global government now. That required a series of successive steps. And so in the interim, you had what they described as a unipolar world order, where the United States was the unchallengeable dominant player, right? At the time of the end of World War II, 85% of global manufacturing was in the United States.
Wow.
Americans had about 2% of the global population, and yet more than 50% of global GDP was represented by the U.S. economy. So there wasn't even a close second. But they have been saying now for well over a decade that as we shift toward this new world order that they're building, that George Soros himself has said should be owned by communist China, we need to have a new phase that they describe as a multipolar world order. And actually, I came on this program when Joe Biden did what on the surface seemed to be a very chaotic, a very ridiculous withdrawal from Afghanistan, where we ended up looking like unreliable fools, where we left $85 billion worth of military hardware for the Chinese and for the Taliban. On the surface, it looked like, wow, America's out of control. How could this be? You can't trust America. Well, we're seeing the same thing now. Right. People forget that in the 1990s, it was Bill Clinton's administration that told the Ukrainians, give up your nuclear weapons, and the United States government promises that it will protect you and your borders and your territorial integrity and your sovereignty. That was just a few decades ago. Okay? And so now what's happening is the United States is being transitioned out of this role as the unipolar superpower in the world order, and we're moving into what these people describe as the multipolar world order, where the United States will be one among many, right? The Chinese and the Russians and the Indians and the South Africans and the Brazilians, all of those governments will have a much greater role in the architecture of global governance. And I think that is what, by the time this whole fiasco in Ukraine is over, it's going to become very, very clear that that is what happened throughout the entire ordeal.
Again, Alex Newman joining us for our crosstalk here today. And Alex, what you were just saying, it sounds like a world without America is the final agenda here, is these globalists wanting to see the way of life here gone as part of history. We began the program here today with audio from this morning when President Biden said that we were banning all Russian oil. Just to kind of revisit that just a little bit, and you talk about the horrible decisions, many believe are horrible decisions, like the happenings in Afghanistan and such. You hear where the president's saying that, okay, we're banning Russian oil, but yet where do we go from here, and what kind of options is he going to lay out for us? You mentioned this already, Alex, that if we're already dealing with rising gas prices, it sounds to me like we haven't seen anything yet.
That's exactly right, Dalton. And I think one of the effects of all of this, not just the war in Ukraine between the Russians and the Ukrainians, but all of the chaos, or at least seeming chaos that we see right now, is going to be a decimation of the U.S. economy and in particular the U.S. dollar. I think that's very possibly one of the intended results of this whole fiasco that's taking place right now. Right, as part of this unipolar world order, the U.S. dollar has served as the global reserve currency. Mm-hmm. That means that every government, every central bank on planet Earth had a built-in structural permanent demand for U.S. dollars, because primarily after Nixon killed the gold standard, or at least the remnants of the gold standard in 1971, all oil transactions on the international markets were settled in dollars. Well, what's going to happen now that Putin, one of the largest suppliers of energy in the world, is no longer able to sell his products for U.S. dollars? We're seeing it happen now. We saw it with the sanctions that the Biden administration imposed. We're seeing a shift away from the dollar as the global reserve currency and the SWIFT system that is really controlled by the U.S. and the Western powers to a more multipolar vision where the communist Chinese are developing their own alternative to the SWIFT system. Now, I think one of the potential outcomes here is going to be the dethroning of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency and then a gradual transition into a one-world currency. The IMF has been groomed for this purpose for decades now. They've already got the global currency in waiting. They call it special drawing rights. And incidentally, during the COVID crisis, they issued tens of billions, in fact, almost $1 trillion U.S. dollars worth of these special drawing rights. They're essentially doing the same thing that our Federal Reserve has done, created currency out of nothing, and then they're showering it on the governments of the world. So I think the economic pain that Americans are experiencing now may be just the beginning. And to go back to your point, Dalton, a world without America, I think that's exactly what these people envision ultimately, because America is a unique nation in the history of the world, and it's founded on ideas, right? Nations throughout history, many of them have had to do with kind of groups that are connected through language and ethnicity and a shared history and things like that. Well, America has some of that, but only on the outskirts. The real thing that is at the core of what America is as a nation are these premises that our founding fathers laid out in the Declaration of Independence. They said that God has created us. God has given us our rights. And therefore, if God gave us our rights, not only can government not take them away, but government must protect them. And these are ideas that come straight from the Bible. God said, thou shalt not murder, so you have a right to life. God said, thou shalt not steal, so you have a right to property. God said, the purpose of government is to punish evil, and he has defined murder and theft as evil. Therefore, the government must protect your right to life and your right to property and punish those who violate those. So these ideas that are at the core of what it means to be an American, that are really at the core of the Bible, cannot be tolerated in this new system that these globalists, if you will, are trying to build. So they need to be not only crushed, they need to be discredited in the public mind. And I think we're watching that process unfold now, where the entire world is looking at America and thinking, they're really looking at America like they look at Joe Biden, a guy who really doesn't know what he's doing. He's very old. He's not necessarily all there. And, you know, I don't say these things to be mean or disrespectful in any way. Just objectively, when you look at this situation, that's what the world sees and that's what Americans are seeing. And I think this is all being very carefully stage managed as part of a major transition away from the old system into a new system where the America that we have known and loved will be no more.
Systematically being ripped apart?
That's exactly right, and dismantled and discredited.
You know, it was on the, I believe, day one of the Joe Biden presidency that the XL pipeline was canceled, if you will. On day one, correct?
That's right.
And now, here, you know, a year later, into the beginning of the second year of his presidency, we're once again asking this question, why would America have to continue to rely on other nations for our energy? I want to come back and talk just briefly, Alex, about, you know, energy independence and why can't we have that here in America? What's the trouble? And we'll see what Alex has to say about that when we continue on Crosstalk. Stay with us.
Dave Cristiano has produced and directed impactful Christian films addressing timely issues. This month, offered is a set of his productions, including the 90-minute Power of the Air, in which a missionary from Africa warns of the danger the church in America is facing due to the influence of the media the church is consuming. Also in this package are three 25-minute productions from 7th Street Theater, including On the Air, addressing the issue of depression, The Bus Stop, addressing the matter of prayer, and Mayday, an evangelistic film comparing the days of Noah to the return of Christ. This set of DVDs is available for a donation of $20 with additional sets to the same address for an additional $12 donation per set. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You may also visit vcyamerica.org.
Back on Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. We are joined today by Alex Newman. Alex Newman, the award-winning international freelance journalist and an author and researcher and educator and consultant, a very busy guy. We appreciate his time today. He's also the senior editor for The New American. He also contributes to many other publications as well. And we'll have Alex comment in just a little bit on some of his books and also the Liberty Sentinel. And just to learn a little bit more about Alex, who Alex is. And many of our longtime Crosstalk listeners know him well. And he's definitely a go-to when we need to get some information. But Alex, just before the break there, we were talking about our dependence on foreign oil. And someone today may be, you know, really waking up to the problem that is at hand today. And we're saying, why is America, why are we struggling to have energy? Why can't we have our own? What would you say to that person, Alex?
Well, I recognize that to somebody who has not been reading the documents of the elites, who has not been studying the speeches of the elites, that it sounds a little bit out there, but there is and there has been for generations an agenda to undermine the U.S. economy, hollow out our manufacturing base, make us dependent on foreign nations, and build up foreign powers. And we see this not just with oil, right? America has unbelievable amounts of energy. We have unbelievable resources in this country. We've got all the minerals we could ever need. We've got all the natural resources we could ever need. And yet the federal government has deliberately and very strategically shut down oil production. They've locked up huge amounts of our resources under the guise of, you know, saving some sort of desert lizard or stopping climate change or something like that. And you have to ask yourself, if these people really believe that carbon dioxide is a pollution that's causing climate change, which after traveling to these UN climate conferences for over a decade and interviewing dozens of the world's leading scientists on these issues and even heads of state on these issues, I can say with no shred of doubt whatsoever, is a giant fraud. CO2, the gas you exhale, is not causing climate change. But even if you believe that, why would it be better to burn Russian oil or Venezuelan oil or Saudi oil or Iranian oil than it would be to burn American oil? It makes no sense when you stop and think about the arguments that are being made to justify these types of things. The only way it makes sense is if you understand that there's a deliberate agenda by some of the most powerful people in this country to undermine our economy, to ship our productive capacity over to other nations. And we see this very, very clearly with China. The elites in this country, the Rockefeller dynasty, successive administrations, the Biden family, the Clinton family, the Bush family, they are all intimately tied to the communist Chinese, and they've all been instrumental in shipping our jobs, shipping our factories over to other countries. And so when you understand that there is that agenda, that they can't have this little one world order as long as there's a strong, prosperous, free America based on biblical principles and constitutional principles, once you understand all that, then it makes sense. And you can use that to understand very clearly what's going on in the world when any other way of looking at it makes absolutely no sense.
Rewind to a Trump administration that was America first, that was bring jobs back here. Yet you had that that agenda under a different administration, but you had a media that was constantly attacking that directive.
Yes, and even the very phrase America first is a phrase that a lot of these globalists and deep state types just absolutely abhor. And that's not just my opinion. One of the great men who defected from the Council on Foreign Relations, he was a U.S. admiral. His name was Chester Ward, and he spent 16 years as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I call the Council on Foreign Relations basically a deep state headquarters here in the United States, if you will. After he defected, he came out and he wrote a book with Phyllis Schlafly called Kissinger on the Couch, and he explained that in the entire American lexicon, in the entire English lexicon, there is no phrase that drives these people more nuts than America First, because what they're interested in is a global order. And as long as you have a powerful, free, and prosperous America, there's no way to make that happen. So they have to undermine America at every turn. Many of these people absolutely despise the principles that this nation was founded on, and they know that it's very appealing. Other people in other countries look at America, they say, wow, that nation became very rich and very prosperous, and they're enjoying so much freedom, and they're so happy, and all they had to do was follow these basic biblical principles. Right? It's a huge stumbling block to their agenda. So now that they've used America for what they can get, now that their grasp on power has been shown to be very tenuous, and even though I disagree with Donald Trump on some policy areas, I absolutely believe that he was an unexpected monkey wrench in the gears of this system, if you will, and I think it was a wake-up call to a lot of these globalists. Oh, my goodness, what would happen if America suddenly freed itself from our influence and suddenly started using all this military and economic might and power and all the rest of it and all these resources for useful purposes? I mean, it would just be an absolute doom for their agenda. So they have to wage war on our country. They have to do it in the name of all sorts of silly causes like saving a desert lizard or stopping climate change or whatever it is. But that ultimately is the agenda, and I think that's how you make sense of what's happening.
Alex, you talk about this agenda, this global agenda that is clearly being constructed outside of America. However, in order for them to get where they want to go, they have to have someone from the inside cooperating with their agenda, do they not?
They absolutely do, and they have that, and they have had that for a long time in this country. Actually, right now I'm at a pastor's conference, and I spent the morning teaching on who these people are and what they're up to. Ultimately, I think the Bible makes very clear that this is a spiritual war. We're dealing with powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not just bad guys, but even just in the purely physical realm that we exist in, there are very clearly individuals and organizations that are actively pursuing this agenda. And they control, in many cases, all of the levers of power in this country, with some exceptions. But the media, I mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations earlier. That's a very good example of this. It's fully bipartisan. It's fully dedicated to this agenda of building a one world order. In fact, it was founded for that purpose. And yet, when you look at the membership lists of these organizations, the Council on Foreign Relations is a good example. They've got about 5,000 members. What you'll find is that the elites of both parties, Republican and Democrat, the media, the corporate interests, the CEOs of the big companies, the journalists, the bankers, et cetera, they're all part of this club. And yet you never hear about this club. They have a website. You can go see who their members are. You can see who their corporate members are. It's the big corporations. It's the big banks. It's the big pharmaceutical companies, the big oil companies. And you realize, wow, the way God describes reality, right? The Bible actually repeatedly makes these references that I think to many Christians today seem bizarre, right? There's one in 2 Corinthians where the Bible even calls Satan the God of this world. And we need to be careful not to understand and misunderstand that. Satan is not God. He's not a God. But the point of these scriptures dealing with this is to say that Satan is incredibly influential in the world system. He has deceived most people on this planet, and Satan is working his agenda through people, through spiritual forces, and this agenda is entirely and always opposed to everything that God has decreed and ordained for our good. And so you see this across all the issues, right? Not just the effort to dismantle nations, not just the effort to undermine biblical principles in our country, but on every front, right? God said marriage is between a man and a woman. So now these forces are trying to tell us that marriage could be anything. It could be three guys and a cat. God said he made them male and female. Now they're telling us that that's hateful and bigotry and that there could be 8,000 different new genders, right? And so on every point, this is the war they're waging, and we need to see it, I think, in that sense to truly understand it and to truly resist it.
Alex, you wrote a book called Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, and it sounds to me this is exactly, that book is exactly what you're explaining to us right now.
That's precisely. Yeah, the book is a very deep exploration of what, you know, the deep state became a very popular term during the Trump administration. Trump himself repeatedly used it. And so what I tried to do with the book is just show people that this is not some conspiracy theory, right? You may want to call it a conspiracy, although in many cases it's not even secret. These people openly talk about what they're doing. These people give speeches. They write books where they lay out the full agenda. And it's certainly not a theory. It's a fact. But what I try to do in that book is show people what is the agenda, who is involved, how are they pursuing that agenda, and how can we as Christians successfully resist and defend what we know to be right and defend Christian civilization and defend the moral principles that God has revealed to us, not just through creation, but in his word. And so that really is the objective of the book. And if people want to get that, it's available online.
It's called Deep State, the Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, from our guest today, Alex Newman. And we're going to be shifting direction here shortly and also inviting some telephone calls from listeners that are joining us on the VCY America Network here today. That telephone number to be on the program is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829 if you have a question for our guest today, Alex Newman. Going to shift gears here from a little bit discussing, it's all connected, but from discussing the specifics of our energy and all that where we have been. But let's go back to, for just a moment, Ukraine and Russia. We heard even the words from the president this morning there talking about Putin's war and all of that, and we understand that. Are we being told the whole truth as to really what is going on, in your opinion, Alex? I mean, we're being told to kind of take the side of the Ukrainians, but others are saying, hold on here. What do you think about all that we are being told, or maybe not being told?
Yeah, Dalton, I think one thing that's very clear is we're getting a very one-sided narrative. And, you know, when you go to court, you put your hand on the Bible and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And there's a reason the whole truth is mentioned in there, because if you don't tell the whole truth, it's the functional equivalent of lying. You can mislead people by giving some truths but leaving out other truths. And so I'll say it again. I've been warning for over a decade, my entire journalistic career, about Putin. And, you know, as I reveal what I'm going to reveal, people will say, well, you're just being a Putin apologist. No, I'm not. In fact, I wrote a very extensive, in-depth article 6 or 7 years ago where I pointed out that I believe, and I believe the evidence shows clearly, that Putin is a servant of this New World Order agenda. But with all that said, this Ukrainian government is not what we are being led to believe. And I'll give you just some simple facts to contrast. The Ukrainian president, Mr. Zelensky, and I don't know him personally, I've never met him, but I know his publicly stated political positions. He believes that we should be able to murder babies up until the moment that they're born. He believes in disarming the citizenry. He believes in surrendering the sovereignty of his nation to regional governments like the European Union and like NATO. Putin, again, believes many of those same things as well. So really, I don't know that there's a good guy in this fight. Now, my heart breaks for the people of Ukraine and also the people of Russia, right? The people of Russia are people just like any other people anywhere in the world. Now, I've spent time in Russia. I've spent time in Ukraine. In fact, I was just in Ukraine a couple of years ago during their ongoing civil war. But here's a few things that they're not telling you. And I think it's important to know these things. Well, I hear the music, so I'll talk about them when we get back from the break.
All right, and we do have several on the line, so we'll come back and let you finish your comment there and then go to your questions. Our guest is Alex Newman. Crosstalk will continue in just a moment.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Sadly, many Americans and even many in the military have been brainwashed to believe that America's military could stomp all over Russia anytime we wanted. That is absolutely not the truth. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, whose radio show I produce, has documented on his radio show and in an article that Russia's ICBMs, which is intercontinental ballistic missiles, are at a 95% state of readiness all the time. 95% state of readiness all the time. They could launch many of their ICBMs within 3.5 minutes. They're on a constant combat readiness level. Putin, right now as I'm recording this, is in a bunker, in a control center. They have way more ICBMs than we do, way more. They've cheated on so many of their treaties with us while we've honored our treaties, and now they're on the fifth and sixth generation warfare, and we're in bad shape. Our ICBMs largely are on subs that have to get out to sea and get close to strike, and our planes would take up to 3 days to get them ready to go. America is vulnerable. Wake up.
Thank you for staying with us as we get into our final segment of Crosstalk. Our guest is Alex Newman. Before we go to the phones for some calls here, just before that break, we were discussing, Alex, you know, we're being told Ukraine good, Russia bad, but are we being told everything?
Yeah, we're being denied several key facts that are necessary for people to make informed decisions. Now, I want to start off by saying that I don't think anybody is being told the truth about this war. The globalists have understood for generations that war and the threat of war is the fastest way to advance the cause of globalism, and I know that because they've told us that. I mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations earlier. Joe Biden said Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, is his boss, that he works for Richard. Now, the CFR, a member of the CFR, Lincoln Bloomfield, wrote a report for the State Department and the Institute for Defense Analyses back in the late 1960s, and the report was commissioned to try to find how to go from a world of nation states to a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. That was the title of the report. His conclusion was that war or the threat of war is the fastest way to get there. So I think that must be understood to truly understand what's going on here. So while we're being told that Putin just one day totally unprovoked got up and decided to start murdering Ukrainians, that's simply not true. What the Russians are being told, and I think Americans have a right to know what Russians are being told, mm-hmm. is that, look, Ukraine was the Western powers were trying to bring Ukraine into NATO, which would have put a hostile military alliance right on our borders. The Putin and the Russian government have also explained repeatedly that there are areas of Ukraine where there are ethnic Russian majorities, and at least two of those have voted in referendums. You know, you can criticize the referendums if you want, but these population centers voted to secede from Ukraine and to become little self-governing republics. Now, both of those areas have been under relentless military attack from the Ukrainian government. Now, I'm not commenting on the rightness or the wrongness of any of these causes, but Putin didn't just wake up one day and tell the Russians, hey, guys, I feel like invading Ukraine. Let's go kill some people. There's so much more to this story, but ultimately, I don't think you can understand the real agenda without understanding how war advances the cause of globalism and how Putin and Zelensky and so many of the other key characters in this production that I think is being put on are deeply involved with this globalist agenda.
Alex, we'll go to the phones. Wayne is in South Dakota. Wayne, thanks for calling. You're on Crosstalk.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. What I was wanting to ask Alex, I'm a farmer here in lifelong farmer, and right now, you know, we're seeing our corn, bean prices, everything's going up, 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 but they just automatically fuel, fertilizer, repairs, everything else keeps going up, up, up. So it's getting to be more and more an expensive game to play, you know, being a farmer or rancher. And with the war in Ukraine, they're the breadbasket in Europe. They you know, produce a tremendous amount of food over there. If this war continues on and they don't get planted, what is this going to do to commodity prices and the whole world in the sense of, you know, of food and availability of food and price of food and everything?
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for the call. Alex?
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in, Wayne. I appreciate it very much. And I've been sounding the alarm about what I think is a coming food crisis for quite some time. As you pointed out, farmers in the United States are being squeezed on all sides. Ukraine is facing, obviously, you know, a war. It's very hard to plant properly during a war. Hungary actually just banned all grain exports. So I think we are headed into a calamity when it comes to food. I think it's been engineered. In fact, during the COVID crisis that everybody seems to have forgotten about now that they pointed us over to a squirrel. Oh, look, a squirrel. So we all look over there. We all forgot about COVID. But during these last 2 years, they have been waging war on our food systems, on our production systems, and on especially on independent farmers and ranchers. So I think what we're heading into is an engineered food crisis. And, you know, typically food crises in the world don't affect Americans very badly because we've got this dollar that serves as the global reserve. And so we can just buy food out from under anybody else because everybody needs dollars. Well, what happens if the U.S. dollar stops serving as the global reserve and the world is facing a cataclysmic shortage of food? Well, you can put two and two together and figure out it's not going to go well here for Americans. So I encourage people not to be overtaken by fear. The Lord did not give you a spirit of fear, but God also said that if you don't take care of your family and you don't take sensible precautions, you're worse than an infidel. And so I think that means as husbands, as fathers, as parents, we have an obligation to look around, and Proverbs speaks very clearly on this, right? A wise man looks at the danger and stops, right? We need to look at what's coming and take sensible steps, and I think the food issue is one of those areas where we should all be paying attention. You're not going to read about it on the front page of your newspaper until it's too late, just like with this inflation. They didn't tell you there was massive inflation coming until it was too late to protect yourself. Folks, pay attention. It's critical. Thank you, Wayne.
Fred is in Milwaukee. Hi, Fred.
Yes, I was wondering if the guest is familiar with the book or books, Presidential Ambition by Richard Shankman and The Lies My Teacher Taught Me by Robert Lowen about history.
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with either of those books, but if you send me an email, I'd love to get copies of them. So,
what is your email, Alex?
Alex@libertysentinel.org.
All right, and quickly, we might have time to get Zach on. He's in River Falls, Wisconsin. Hi, Zach.
Hi, I just wanted to say my message to the American people would be prepare for the worst, pray for the best. And I think it's funny how the Russia-Ukraine crisis also took place around the same time the COVID crisis did. And I think it's all to shape this fall's election, help shape the outcome of this fall's election.
Okay, thank you, Zach. Alex, your comment?
I couldn't agree more. You know, we do need to take sensible precautions, and we need to be looking at what's going on and see what's happening in the world and prepare ourselves for those days. But at the same time, we should be praying for our leaders. We should be praying that God would allow us to enjoy a peaceable life, if that be His will, but recognize that very significant things are happening, and we need to be prepared for those things. And we also need to be prepared to stand for the truth and to preach the word of God come what may. And yes, so we need courage and we need discernment and we need wisdom. And thank you very much for the call.
You mentioned your email address. How about your website where folks can follow more of your work, Alex?
Well, thank you so much. I'm the senior editor at The New American. You can find us at thenewamerican.com, and you can even get a subscription to the print magazine if you'd like. My personal website is libertysentinel.org, and then my work can be found in many other places as well. You can find it in the Epoch Times or WorldNet Daily, Law Enforcement Intelligence Brief, a lot of places. But thenewamerican.com and libertysentinel.org are the best places to find me. So.
All right. Well, on behalf of all of us here at Crosstalk, Alex, it's always a pleasure having you. We thank our listeners for their participation here today. We could easily go another hour talking on these subjects, but your info today, your help has been most appreciated. Take care, Alex.
Thank you so much, Dalton. God bless.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.